Good afternoon. I'll call the meeting to order. And our first agenda item is approval of the minutes from the November 7 meeting. They were distributed along with the agenda materials.
I just took a look at them, and they are as I remember, so I move the adoption of the minutes. Doug?
Thank you, Brad. I'll second that. Any discussion regarding the minutes? Then all in favor of approving, say aye. Aye, Brad.
Aye, Doug.
Man, I'll vote aye.
Okay. Then we have six loans on the agenda for this month, or this meeting, about $5.2 million total.
Well, they've been
these all approved
for
proper public purpose?
They have, Mr. Chairman.
And then I'll make a motion to approve the loans.
Doug, I'll second it, of course.
Any questions regarding the loans?
I have one question on the loan, but it relates to a conversation, Mr. Attorney General, we were having right before you came on. I guess I was wondering why we're getting the agenda meetings. I feel like we're getting them on Fridays now. I feel like when I started, they were Thursdays and Wednesdays.
You know, I think what happened is because we moved this meeting up to a Monday rather than a Tuesday. And
we got it even earlier then?
Feels shorter probably than usual, but yeah. Okay.
I guess my only point is, at some point, they have an agenda done. I mean, I think we only have a 24-hour legal notice, but you guys know when the agenda is set. This was probably done last week Wednesday. Even if it's a draft agenda, I'd appreciate seeing it. And if it's not the final one, I mean, you can send it to me and just say it's a draft. I just would prefer to see it in advance.
That's reasonable, Matt. This is Jonathan. By the way, I'm probably responsible for the delay because I was trying to write up the analysis of your bill draft. And also we had two people out in Chicago at the Schwab conference, and I didn't realize that we had the loans all in good shape. That was my fault.
Okay, and then just in regards to the loans, I just had one question. One of them was number three, it says a TID land acquisition. Can somebody explain more what that is?
I believe that they are acquiring land for business park operation to expand their business park.
Is this one of those, what they call like a pass-through?
No.
This would be a revenue loan, wouldn't it?
No, it's not a revenue loan. It's general obligation, but the municipality is borrowing money to improve the TID district.
All right.
Generally, they acquire the land and add infrastructure to that district.
Oh, I know what a TID is. Okay, that's fine. We can vote on the loan.
Okay. Then all in favor say aye. Aye, Brad.
Aye, Doug, of course.
Who's mad? I won't know.
Okay. Then that does take us down to the item under new business. That's a discussion of the draft legislation, and Jonathan was just noting that we've been putting together a staff report on this. Jonathan, can you talk a little bit about the staff report relating to the...
Well, it's pretty self-explanatory. First off, the bill goes back a little ways to bring up the idea of a merit scholarship program for funds above $500,000. That's a legislative prerogative. I don't see any issue with that at all. The reason the $500,000 figure is in there is because current statute has $100,000 going to Extension, $100,000 going to the Nelson Institute, and the balance going to Stevens Point. When I talked with Matt about this, my understanding is that the $500,000 figure is to make sure that nobody that's currently receiving funds is directly harmed. In other words, Stevens Point keeps its approximately $300,000. Last year we distributed $465,000. I think we're on target to exceed $500,000 this year by a little bit, and the fund looks to be growing healthily for the future. So this could have an effect in the future for merit scholarships. I'll have Tom explain the mechanics issue on the appraisals, but it's a very challenging methodology to follow, and I'll let Tom talk about it.
The Constitution requires that all land be appraised. The statutes currently require that the appraisal occur before the lands are offered for sale, and I believe the proposal is suggesting that, in essence, all the lands be offered for sale prior to getting an appraisal. And so, in essence, what you're doing is you're inviting offers on your land without any idea as to what the value is at that point in time. And it injects an uncertainty into the process. Buyers are uncertain as to if they have the highest bid, whether it's going to be accepted or not. And frankly, the staff doesn't know at that point either what the price is until an appraisal is obtained.
Nor do we have a cutoff of when bids are due with right. this kind of an approach, which is, I can just imagine the Lakeland Times going quite upset about it.
Well, this is Matt. Just because I've spoken to Representative August about the bill draft here, and I obviously know them, and I know what the two things. You mentioned the $500,000 for the merit scholarship. I'll just tell you that right now, Ray Cross, who's the head of the UW system, obviously, that is a top priority, and that's one reason that that's in there, and that is a key priority for Representative August. Some of the other things in there, they're not a lot. They're basically just options. And my understanding, I read the analysis by the staff here, but these are all about options. So right now, whatever we do currently, we can continue to do. But for some reason, we wanted a list, and I know Doug had some issues wanting to possibly consider a way where we didn't have to put our appraisal out first. I look at it as a house. If I were going to sell my home, I would take an estimate of what I think it is. Maybe my realtor would weigh in, and I'd list it on there. And then people come out, and they actually write us an offer. So if somebody offered us for one of our parcels of land, like we have these little ones up today, like a little 40-acre random parcel, if somebody comes to us and say, okay, I'll give you $10,000, $15,000 for it, well, obviously they're interested in it. They can write us an offer. We haven't done anything at that point. And then we can do an appraisal. And so it's the exact opposite. Instead of spending the money at front, we'd be spending it on the back end. Until we actually have an interested buyer, we actually don't have to spend any money. It's a much better situation. And that's how the entire real estate world works. Why would we be any different?
This is not the entire real estate world. This is a public office that's required to have transparency.
But we're not selling. Well, before... Notice that in the draft language, it says that an appraisal must be done before sale. There's your transparency. There's nothing wrong with doing an appraisal afterwards. We could still, and again, these things are just optional. We could still do the appraisal first. There's nothing saying that you can't do it. It just says you can do it. I'm a big believer in options. This bill gives and again, your same logic about how you wrote, and I think for the first analysis, said that this is something the legislature may take. All of these things are what the legislature can take. The legislature has told us in the Constitution how to sell the land. We have the final say, us three commissioners, but they dictate how we're to sell the land.
Hey, Tom, is there any way of know, or do you have any idea why, when the legislature made it mandatory that the appraisal go first, why did they do that?
They did it because of the fact that they were worried that there had been a lot of sales that had gone through at below market prices. They were worried about people that had been able to buy land and then turned around and sold it at a higher value. They felt
after they cut the timber off.
They felt that in essence the people that were benefiting the most under the prior system were speculators, not the trust funds.
Okay.
Well, I guess, but still that doesn't make any sense. So when these were being sold, I know you've told me in the past, I think Jonathan told me this, in the 1800s or whatever, land was just being liquidated. Were they even doing appraisals?
Yes, they were.
Well, who was doing the appraisal?
I don't personally know any of them at this
point.
Well,
no, I understand that, but I mean, everything we're doing, so for example, we have a concrete example today. At the end of our agenda, we have, I think it was three little parcels that are being sold. Now, if you think about it, we spent on one of them that we're going to get about $10,000 for, we spent $1,000. I actually got the copies from Jonathan today of the actual bills. I don't know if the other two commissioners saw them. I asked Jonathan to forward them, but he didn't get a chance to. But we spent $1,000 for a parcel that's listed for 10. That's 10%. Our staff, I think, is competent enough up north that they could have ballparked it and said, even if they ballpark it high, it's the same thing when you sell a house. If I think my house is worth 180, I list it for 200 because people want to get a deal. They want to lowball you. We could always estimate it high. And again, until we actually sell it, anything that if we were ever to, like, say, when you do an offer for purchase, it would always say pending board approval and a pending appraisal. These are just giving us options. There's no reason not to give up. The legislature idea here of giving us more options just makes sense.
So it's just, so we say we're going to offer this land for sale without yet knowing what we might sell it for. And then once somebody makes an offer, we do an appraisal, and I don't know why this makes it. We still have to do the appraisal. I don't know how we save the money. I guess that's what I'm getting at.
Well, two parts to that. On these ones that we're selling today, I think the appraisal, because we put it out there, we actually probably set our number low. I think people were probably bidding based on what the appraisal, to Doug's point in our last meeting, we have to publicly, once we've spent the money on it, we have to publicly put it out there. And so, I mean, these bids are basically based on that. If we had just put them out for public bid, even if we said to set the minimum price higher, and then it's just, there's nothing to say that we couldn't say we have a random 40-acre parcel in Oneida County, it's for sale, somebody bid on it. The way it's an impediment for us to spend money on it, because if we spend the money and nobody buys it, we just lost the money. And I guess I'd have a follow-up with that. Reading the statutes that this language that Representative August put as a draft, I've been always told that we have to pay for a private appraisal. It sure seems to me like the staff can do the appraisal if we want it, correct?
That is correct.
So, for example, it makes no sense when we're selling a $10,000 parcel. It looks like there's a guy named Meek up there or John Schwartzman or whoever it is. Couldn't they have guesstimated it at $250 a foot? I mean, that's half the time what these appraisals come back at anyway. And so we wouldn't have spent $1,000. We're losing $1,000 on $10,000. That's a lot, 10%. Why couldn't Mika or John Schwartzman just have done the appraisal themselves? We wouldn't have had to waste the $1,000.
Is there some danger that you could have some conflict of interest or something where we don't have an independent appraiser and we run into a problem with
land
getting appraised far below?
I guess I say, Mr. Attorney General, it's directly in the state statutes that it actually says, so far as practical, the appraiser shall be an employee of the board. That's us. So we're paying Mika. I would assume Mika or John aren't giving it to a family member. You, me, and Doug, we are elected, and we also have to sign off on anything. So, I mean, it's on all of us. I mean, this is just giving us another tool in the tool belt. It's not I don't see this as a problem. I know what Jonathan wrote here is a severe setback. I don't see that.
I think it's mechanically very difficult, Matt. And there would be an inherent conflict of interest if we were appraising for ourselves. At least that's what the legislature determined some years ago. Lastly, if we put an appraiser on staff.
Then why didn't they get rid of our ability to do it?
If we put an appraiser on staff, I don't know what we would pay that person annually, but it's probably quite a bit more than the occasional appraisal we're doing. The appraisal is about, I hate to say it, but it's the price of going to the dance. Neither the DNR nor the counties do any internal appraisals. They all hire contract appraisers to keep the arm's length transaction out there.
And I don't necessarily have a problem with that. It's in the law now, and that's fine. I'm only saying, let's use the four examples, the three parcels we were selling today.
I view those three parcels coming in a little higher as a success on Micah's part of generating interest. The process we're following now, Matt, is that we send Micah out. First of all, Schwartzman, Tom, and I identify land that is surplus, and we've got a list of that. And then we try and find interested parties that may be adjacent to that land. The reason that we came in a little higher on this than the appraisal, I believe, is because Micah had done a good job of generating interest, and we haven't wasted money on an appraisal because we knew going in that there was a high likelihood we would get a purchaser out of these three.
Well, I guess my question was, you only had these appraised because you already knew people wanted to buy it in advance?
Correct.
But we could do that at any time. If somebody came up to us, we have all kinds of 40s sitting all over the Northwoods of Wisconsin. Anybody comes to us and says, one of those 40s I want to buy. they could say to you guys, okay, I think I'm going to give you a 500 acre, 1,000 acre. We'll know if it's in the ballpark. They could write us an offer. They haven't, that's nothing at that point. Then we could see, I mean, is this person for real? And then at that point, we could do the appraisal and do the public bid or whatever it is.
Then we would, and we certainly could do that. We could have a whole lot of people coming to us asking to us to consider selling a parcel and then force us into doing an appraisal at whatever cost.
They were not being forced into any.
And
the
then
board would have to say,
come in higher than their offer and it's over.
Say that again? I think I missed that part.
In that situation, what you're proposing, Matt, is in essence having the appraisal and then putting it up for public bid again. How does that differ than what we have now?
We haven't put I'm saying...
Put it up for public bid.
Right.
I mean, when we get an appraisal, we are required to put it up for public bid at that as the minimum price.
Well, okay, for example, on our website, I give a little bit of credit to the board here, we finally have done this. There's a few, it says surplus parcels for sale, and it's got them based by the counties. It looked to me like there's 20 of them. And all 20 of these are listed with a minimum bid.
All 20 of those have been appraised in one lump sum some years ago, and nobody wanted to buy them at the time we appraised them.
Okay, so my point is the board spent money on appraisals for land that isn't sold, correct?
Right. That's absolutely correct.
So my point is, We could do the exact same thing. Adams County, property for sale, parcel 1, $32,000. We could have just put it on there, bid range $30,000 to $50,000. That's all it'd be the exact same thing we're doing now, but we wouldn't have spent the money on the appraisal. I mean, this isn't that big of a deal, and we can move on past it. I'm just saying options are good.
Okay.
So we could come back to it. We don't have to make any firm decisions. Do we want to talk about the May-only line or no?
Yeah.
I remember I've talked to Jonathan about this in the past. I know we broached the topic in one of these board meetings. And something I tried to have Jonathan send to you today that we've had in the past, it's been on agendas. We have $2.5 million sitting in a SIF right now that's required to only be used for this. Getting rid of the word only does not do anything. We could still buy land. And what they wrote here is a detriment, saying that if the DNR buys our land, so let's say the DNR came to us tomorrow and bought $100,000 of land, so we have to use it using their what Jonathan wrote in here as the issues for the bonding. Well, then we could just set that $100,000 aside for buying new land. But we already have $2.4 million in there, and if we use, I think I have the numbers of our current 4% rate of return, we're losing almost $100,000 a year. I don't know why we wouldn't want. I mean, again, I think my two co-board members, it's always better to have options, and the fact that we don't have any option on it, I just think is wrong.
Well, it looks to me like if we have that money, we better start buying some land pretty quick.
That's your opinion, and obviously, Doug, you and I just fundamentally disagree on it, and we're not going to go into that topic. But for all practicality here, we haven't bought hardly any land in my 3 years that we've all... This
something
current
to do that's more important than listen to this, so I may have to leave the meeting, I think. We're not going anywhere for the last 15, 20 minutes to my perception.
Well, like leaving, that's fine. I mean, 15 minutes out of your day, not that big of a deal.
Yeah, I mean, if you make your choice, the conversation's interesting to me. I'm sorry it's not to you, but...
I'll ask this question to Mr. Attorney General. I mean, unless there's a slew of properties we're buying, okay, we have $2.5 million that, to the staff's credit, they get a better job than the SIF, right? So why would we leave that tied up? And again, the problem only gets worse if we actually did sell land. And one of the things I gave out in one of our previous meetings was like, imagine we sold $10 million, imagine... So it's hypothetical. We'd have $10 million sitting in the SIF. And unless we're buying a bunch of land, it has to sit in there making 0.2% or whatever the heck it is. I don't think getting rid of the word only, it doesn't preclude us from buying land. It just gives us options. That's my thought, but I'll defer to you, sir.
Well, I understand what you're saying, except that there is the one concern about the tax-exempt status, that if we blur these lines up too much, do we...
Did we lose you?
Well, how much land have we bought in total from DNR? I mean, I feel like we've bought about 15 or 20 million total. I thought what we bought from DNR was from the land bank. Wasn't that like 6 million? About how much have we bought? Could you guys ballpark it from the DNR?
I'm going to say 12 million.
About 12 million.
That's how much they bought of ours?
Yes.
And then how much have we bought of others?
$2,400,000 less than that.
We haven't sold anything other than the DNR.
Oh, yes, we have, Matt. But in the scheme of things, it wasn't a large amount of money because we're selling small surplus parcels for the most part.
I don't have those. Does anybody have those? I thought there was at least $5 million extra there. I mean, there's a decent bit extra.
I believe it's over four. I don't know the exact number. I don't keep that at my fingertips.
Well, then that's fine. So, but the point is, we're plus. We're nowhere near being what we've sold to the DNR. And again, in the future, let's say the DNR says we need one of your 80 acre. And again, haven't they bought what they most likely want from us already?
They have bought most of what they want. Yeah.
Exactly. So that's a moot point, realistically. But let's say they did.
It's not a moot point because of the fact that bond counsel brought it up and insisted that it go in the legislation, or it wouldn't. Bond counsel refused to certify that those bonds would qualify for tax exempt status.
Well, but we've bought all those bonds. We've bought enough of the land already. We've bought more than we sold to the DNR. So we're nowhere near that world anymore. And again, if in the future, let's say just a $100,000 parcel gets bought by us, there's nothing stopping us from earmarking just that $100,000 towards future land purchases. When we talked about this in the past, Jonathan said this was, it had
flexibility
proposed and had merit. I don't know why it's being poo-pooed today.
Well, I'm not saying that it doesn't have merit, Matt, even today. There are a couple of things. One is that you have to find language that allows us to reserve money for a DNR purchase. And secondly, we have this issue. Once we put money into the trust fund and deposit it in the trust fund, if that's where it's going to earn greater interest, are we allowed to take it back out to make a land purchase? And the answer to that is no. So there's some mechanism would have to be created to allow for that. The way other states have handled this on land banking, like Montana, is the land board has a defined period of time within which, I think Montana is 5 years and Idaho is 10, within which they must have used that land, those proceeds to make an additional purchase that meet the criteria for the purchase. There are several criteria in those states. We have criteria too in the consolidation zone, productive, et cetera, blocking of access and whatnot. So if those states aren't able to use the money appropriately within a time period, then it stays in their trust fund and that money is gone for land purchase. And that's how they've been handling it in Montana and Idaho. So there may be a mechanism to work this out, because on principle, I guess I agree with you. I can't disagree that having more authority at the board level is probably a good thing. But it's not a blunt instrument, and this is just, it's like you're looking for a magic bullet rather than legislation.
Well, I that makes sense, but I think the word only gives us that option because it says it may be used. So I think there's nothing to stop us from using what we've done all in the past, where if you've sold land to the DNR, you must go out and buy land. That still would be allowed. And so maybe the board would just adopt a policy, a public board policy that says, any future DNR sales to the DNR, that money must be set aside only for land purchases. I mean, that's pretty logical. I get the argument on your bond parcel, on the bond parcel part. I get that. But I mean, what if we sold, again, this is a hypothetical example, but that's the only way to look at it. Somebody came in and for some reason wanted all of our land in Marinette County and cut us a check for $6 million. I think it would make more sense for the board to have the latitude to say, okay, do we want to buy $6 million or more land? Or do we want to have options to put it in? And there'd be nothing to stop us from keeping in a separate checking, account, so that, to your point, it stays in that separate account before it goes over to the other fund. There's nothing to keep. It could be its own account. I mean, it's in its own account now, isn't it?
So the purpose of this analysis is not to kill this bill so much as to point out that there are some mechanical issues that relate to both of these issues on the merits, on the appraisal and the may and shall. It's not quite as simple as the legislative or drafting bureau might think so.
Well, do you think I was logical with the saying if they buy more DNR land, buys more of our land using stewardship dollars, those monies would have to be encumbered like it is currently, correct?
This legislation would not give us that ability.
Correct.
It's not encumbered, but it still could be board policy. It's still there.
Because of the fact that the policy
we can add that wording.
Could change at any time. And the fact is, if you're the bond counsel for an entity, you want to make sure that things are buttoned up and that they will progress in exactly that fashion.
What if we added that to the language of the bill, then? That any land bought by the DNR using stewardship money would need to be only set aside for future land purchases. Oh, John or Tom?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that.
The bill could be amended just to say any purchases made by the DNR using stewardship, because that's what you're referring to, the bond issue, those monies would need to be only used for other land purchases. This could be amended with that little bit of words.
To address that issue, that would have to be included at a minimum.
Okay. So does that make sense to you, Jonathan?
Pretty much. I'm following Tom's logic.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll report back that to the representative then. But I don't know. We can move on to the other stuff. I don't think there's anything else in the bill other than the merit bill, which, again, is the big one, and that's why we want to do the bill. But I just think that if we want to sell land at some point, not having to waste our money on these appraisals, because they don't sell. I mean, even though you said Micah did a good job, there wasn't any guarantee that anybody was going to buy those lands, correct?
There never is.
So that's my point. So we as a board, well, I never voted on it, but we spent $1,000, and if nobody bought that $10,000 little parcel, we just lost $1,000 of the kid's money. So we could have easily just put that up for sale between the ranges of 10,000 and 20,000. No, it's not worth $1,000 an acre.
See, the thing is, Matt, you're forgetting also that once we have an appraisal, we can put it up for a private sale. And that's what those 20 parcels on our website are all about. If we try not to spend money on an appraisal
mm-hmm.
without a pretty good idea that somebody is significantly interested in buying the parcel.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're walking through all the likely parcels. There's some other parcels that we're looking at to sell that we might want to even subdivide because they have access on water and might have higher value if we did some work on them.
Why do we even have to give a price, period? Just say it's for sale. Bring us an offer.
We're a government entity, and we have a requirement to be completely transparent. We have a requirement to have a bid date and a time frame, and you can't do that with the mechanism you're proposing.
No, because we haven't sold anything. I get your logic here. If the first person comes out of the gun and just says, okay, I'll bid 10,000 on it, and if we just move the next day and voted aye, but if we got a serious offer, now we know the land has some interest, then you could publicly list it then as the same mechanism you just did. Okay, let's put it out for public auction, and then at that point maybe we do the actual appraisal. But until we have an interest, what's the point?
I address that.
Brad, do you have any other topic? And otherwise, I guess we can move on when you guys are ready.
Yeah. No, okay. It was an interesting discussion. The next thing, any future agenda items? Okay, and then we have our...
Well, this is Matt. I don't have any actual agenda items, but if the staff could brief us, I don't know all of us or if any of us have been briefed. I know Jonathan mentioned a few things coming down the road here. Possible investments, Southeast Crime Facility, the WIDA loans. I'd like to know more about those. I assume Doug would as well, and I'm assuming the chairman would as well. Maybe you guys know about it. I don't know anything about them.
This is Doug. I have an agenda item.
Well, do you want me to address that question, Matt or Brad?
Let's not do it on the meeting. We can just...
I'll give you a report on that.
Okay, thank you.
Hey. And what's up, Doug?
I would like to have an agenda to discuss the board requesting an audit of the unclaimed property. I've been concerned about that for a long, long time, and I haven't seen any real good information, so I'd like to have an audit of that program.
This is Matt. I mean, I thought Jonathan and Tom were going to look into that and work with DOR people. I think that makes sense, and if they feel like there's a problem, they can report back to us, but I'm not auditing Governor Walker's agency. I don't know what we could do anyway. I think the Legislative Audit Bureau would have to authorize that. I don't think we have an audit authority.
That
we can request it.
Yeah.
Which right. I think we should do. I mean, that money is very important, and it belongs to the school kids. Okay, so am I allowed to have that agenda item?
Well, you'd have to, I think this Jonathan, Matt, and Doug, I think you'd have to put it on a future agenda item because we didn't post that at all today.
That's what I suggested. I said this is future agenda item time.
Right. Well, then I'm fine with that. I'll come in with the DOR reports.
Okay. We'll put it on a future agenda. We'll just try to watch for a meeting that doesn't have a ton of other stuff, but I don't know what else we have on the back burner for our next meeting. Okay. Is there an executive secretary's report?
I think we've talked enough. I would point out that, I'll let Rich point it out. Last meeting I mentioned that we'd been successful in selling some $30 million worth of bonds and achieving a pretty good return, and a couple more sales were made in the intervening time.
Yeah, we also are concerned a little. We have a few tax-exempt bonds in our portfolio, and we're concerned a little bit on how federal tax legislation may affect the valuation of those securities. And in the meantime, since we purchased those securities, they've increased in value quite a bit. And so, you know, we have a couple of things on our radar to sell, and we've pulled the trigger on a few pieces of a Sun Prairie tax-exempt bond and made a good profit on those sales. We also have some other tax-exempt issues that we'll also be looking at in the near future.
So this is Doug. One of the agenda items was the sealed bids on the property. I'm curious how that went.
I am as well. Good point, Doug.
Well, which property is that? The results from sealed bids that I put on the agenda?
Yeah, well, I had a question because they said they were sealed bids. Do the bids ever get made public? I mean, I don't really care either way. I mean, I want them to sell, but when they become, do they become unsealed? Do people see them? I just thought the numbers were odd that they ended in $6. Was that just some strategy to get it over a certain amount, you think?
I think it was probably a strategy to get it over $21,000 because he's worried about a neighbor. And it
is multiple bidders?
There was only one bid on each one of these that I'm aware of.
Okay. Small for sale, so thank you for doing it.
Person bidding.
What's going on? I mean, can we let Jonathan answer the question,
right.
Matt, please?
When we put these out for bids, the person bidding on it doesn't know that they may be the only one. And in this case, these three cases, it was only one person that made a bid, and they in all three cases made a bid. The individuals involved made a bid above our minimum price, and they made it in the time frame that's appropriate. So they're going to buy this property. They've already given us the 10% earnest money.
So these parcels
are going to be sold.
By the future agenda item, we will have these three sales.
Well, this is it. These sales, you approved the sale of these properties at some meetings ago, after which we went out and got the appraisal and then set it up for a public bid.
So you'll just give us a report as to how much we earned on the three properties.
I'll give you a report. This is it. We've sold these three properties at these prices in red.
Okay, good. Thank you.
And that money will go into the fund.
And I will be bringing land patents around for your signatures.
Sounds good. Thank you.
All right. Anything else for the good of the order?
Just one question. Just early, prior to the meeting, Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Adamczyk asked me to circulate some items for discussion at the meeting. I did not do that because of time and because of worry about notice. I think afterwards, now, I'll send it out to you in case that that wishes to, is something that wishes, is anybody's desirous of discussing at a future meeting.
Okie doke.
Matt, I'll make a motion to adjourn.
All right. Hey, everybody have a great Thanksgiving. I hope you,
too. Thank you.
Have an enjoyable time with your families.
Yep, hey, Brad, for skiing at Tyrol, just keep that on your list.
All right. Yeah. Okay, thanks.
Bye.
All right, everybody. Take care.